part of the joy of Chazara is the Kovetz al Yad, that when you learn Sugis the first time, you learn Masechta the first time, so you see individual pieces, sort of in local isolation. You see this Sugis, you see this Gemara, you see that Gemara. And then, when you Chazar, you see, after you see a chunk, then you step back and do Chazara, all of a sudden you begin to see bigger patterns. And you begin to appreciate what you began with much more than you could have then, because now you see it in with more context, with more perspective. So we began the year by thinking about Torah HaSfeikas in general, and look at some of the ways in which Halacha deals with Safek, appreciating that that the Halacha gives us different tools for Safek. But I'll ask not to focus now on Ruba v'Chazak, because we will not. But that was the opening with Ruba v'Chazak was both sort of an introduction to the general thinking, the mindset of Taras HaSfeikas, of the world of the Shev Shmaitza and Shari Yashir, and also gave us critical background, because both Rov and Chazak, as we now, looking back, see, both Rov and Chazak are coming up all the time. And if you recognize them and know them already, and you come across them in some other sugya, you're not thrown. I want to think now about specifically Safek Mamon. in broad strokes, and then we can begin today or tomorrow to dig into some of the details. Let's first just wrap the pieces together. The Halacha gives us at least 5 or 6 possible responses to a Safek Mamon. Putting together the sugyas that we've seen. Reuven and Shimon are in contention over who owns X. There's some asset, some item that Reuven claims is his and Shimon claims is his, or Reuven claims that Shimon owes him money and Shimon denies it. When you have a Safek Mamon, what do you do? So in the broadest strokes, we now have 5 or 6 at least potential solutions. Well, number one way of thinking about it is we might award it to Reuven, or we might award it to Shimon, or we might award it to the two of them together, or potentially something we have not yet focused on much, we might award it to neither. We might say no one gets it and it stays in escrow. And it's practically speaking, those are the 4 options. Reuven, Shimon, both, or neither. But in terms of why, what the force is that's driving one or the other, we've seen 5 or 6 principles that may be in play. One principle is to award it to someone because he is the muchzak in the sense of tfisa dahashta. We originally came across the sugya motzi mechaver alvaraya, and it seemed like it was very, very simple. If you have it, then you're muchzak, and you get to keep it. That's the default, unless the other person brings a raya. And we discussed Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, but what standard of evidence does the motzi need to marshal in order to motzi from the muchzak? Okay? So Rav said even a basic standard of evidence like a rov is enough. And Shmuel had said, no. Alecha lahavi raya is ha raya, raya alimta. Rov is not enough. Bari v'shema is not enough. And we had seen both the Trumas Hadeshen, the Ashkenazi Rishon, and the Rilunel, the Sfardi or Provençal Rishon, Koy the Shittim Mekubetzis and Bava Kama, both had a very similar nusach, that what Shmuel is saying is that Ruba lo mikri raya. Rov, ain't hachamam and acha rov, because rov is not a raya. What do you mean rov is not a raya? Rov is a raya. Are they denying that rov is works? No. Are they denying that it works in halach in general? No. Are they denying that rov is a mevarer? No. But what both Trumas Hadesh and Rilunel are saying is that Shita Shmuel is that to be motzi from the, once someone is deemed as the muchzuk, he has the right to demand not only evidence, the sort of evidence that would be acceptable elsewhere in halacha, but actually to demand a superior standard of evidence. Rov might work elsewhere, but not here. Right, so that's one way of thinking about it. Is for Shmuel, you need haraya. You need a raya, you need an extra strong raya. Ruba lemikri raya, as the Chumash Hadash and the Rilunel and the Shita Mukubetzes both say, Rove is not a raya. I mean, Rove is not a sufficient raya. The standard of evidence, the standard raya that we have to go to a Muslim, is more than the usual standard of evidence in much of halacha. Muchzik, lahotzi bin ha-muchzik is one of the areas of halacha where we have a higher standard of evidence. Rove does not cut it, nor does a taina cut it. Right? That's what the Gemara said on Bava Kama and Bava Manav also. Bar v'shema, if the motzi says, I know you owe me money, and the muchzik says, not sure, maybe I owe you money, maybe I don't. Bar v'shema, Shmuel says, lav bar adav lahotzi. You cannot be motzi mamon just on your say-so, even though I'm not necessarily denying it. I'm saying I'm not sure if I owe the money or not. That's a tainus ba, the nemanus baldin betanase. That's an idea we came across more recently also. Although there is some value to simply the taina on the baladinim, they came up in the sugya of Ba'achim Rashut, there's some value to rov also. But neither one is sufficient to meet the high standard of evidence lahotzi min ha-muchzik. So initially in the sugya of Bava Kama, okay, there's a notion of being a muchzik, and Rav and Shmuel dispute what the implications of being the muchzik are. Where does muchzik take you? You have the right to do what? You have the right just to say, I need evidence in order to give it up, or I need super evidence in order to give it up. And that's the sheet of Shmuel, which we possibly like, halacha l'maisa, that ein halacha mamanach harov and bar v'shem alav bar adav lahotzi, two examples of how the muchzik can maintain possession of the item even though there's some evidence against him, but it's not enough. He can demand raya alimta, ruba lo mikri raya. So the focus of the sugya in Bava Kama and Vav was what are the implications of being a muchzik. If you are the muchzik, what does that give you? What type of zchus does that give you? The Chokas Rav and Shmuel, how powerful is the right of a muchzik once you are a muchzik? But where we went from there, as we moved from Bava Kama and Vav to Bava Metzia Daf Kuf, and then to Bava Bashalam and Dalam and Hey, is to expand not the output of a muchzik, what happens once you're a muchzik, what rights do you have once you're a muchzik, but how do you get to being a muchzik? What's, so to speak, the input? What makes you a muchzik? And what we discovered is that there might be several different ways of being the muchzik. And that might be a reason to award you with whatever the asset is, whatever the debt is. And as we saw, there might be up to three different factors, three different types of facts that might give you the status of muchzik. Might give you the status of, I get to hold on to the stuff unless you bring a superior raya against me. But number one is, for sure, is tfisa dehashta. But almost for sure, is tfisa dehashta. Present possession makes me a muchzik. And then we came across in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf a notion of chezkas marakama. No one had present possession. The item is not in anyone's property right now, but we do know that it used to belong to someone. The marakama also might be a reason to award an item to someone. And as we saw, machlokes between the Kitzos and his brother the Kuntres Hasfekos, what is that concept about? The Gemara tells us, at least according to the Chachamim, the Rabbanon de Sumchas, Cheskes Marakama matters. And in the absence of Tfisa Dehash, in the absence of present possession, we will use Marakama to decide who keeps the item. But the question is, why does it work? The Kitzos had said, it works because it's an application of Chazaka de Meikara. But the Kuntres Hasfekos, and we saw this seems to be the predominant view in Rishonim, the Kitzos of Kuntres Hasfekos lived in the 1700s, they were Achronim. It seems to be the dominant view, most Rishonim seem to indicate, like the Kuntres Hasfekos, that no, Chezkes Marakama is also a form of Muchzakis, meaning prior ownership is another another factor that can make me into the muhsik. You have to figure out who in this case, if anyone, is the muhsik. So one factor that can make me a muhsik is present possession. Tvisa dahashka. Another factor that might deem someone the muhsik is marakama, known prior ownership. And then we saw a third fact that might deem someone or several people as the muhsakim, and that is derora de mamona. That came at the end. Comes up two places in Shas. We came across it at the end of the core sugya on Daf Lamed Hey and Bava Basra. The Gemara is trying to figure out, why do we say Yachaloku in one of the classic Sumchus situations? The Gemara been talking about the Mishnah Bava Tzia Daf Kuf. The Gemara Bava Basra is taught the Mishnah Bava Tzia. And how come we say Machapar Bachamar, we say Yachaloku? Why do we say Yachaloku over there? The Gemara is saying, because over there is a Derara de Mamona. What does Derara de Mamona mean? So some of the other Rishonim just said in more general sense is a connection to the money. But the Baal HaTosfos we had seen had sharply defined what Derara de Mamona is and how it works. What Derara de Mamona is, Tosfos said, on the top of Lamed Hey Day, Derara de Mamona means Dal Tanasai Yerushalfikul Beis Din. That without even there's a natural suffix based on the facts alone, without listening to the tainus, the parts of the story in which the two sides differ, leave that out. Leave out any machlokas. Just look at the facts that are known to us directly, or the facts to which both sides agree. That alone, without the tainus, the facts alone create natural suffix. Beis Din already is wondering, either belongs to Reuven or belongs to Shimon, but to no one else. When you have that sort of fact pattern, the fact themselves generate a natural suffix, a closed suffix. It's either Reuven or Shimon. That's a derara de mamona. Both Reuven and Shimon have a derara, that type of connection to this money. And that type of connection, Tosfos Bava Basra gives a definition of what derara de mamona is. Tosfos Bava Metzia and Sadi Zayin and Kufta Zayin give the explanation of how it works. What they say is, and that's what we saw, the Kuntras HaSfeikas quotes as well, quotes from the Tosfos, derara de mamona makes you a muhsik. So there are three factors that can potentially make you a muhsik: present possession, cheskes fisa dahashta, known prior ownership, cheskes marakam, which according to Kuntras HaSfeikas and many Rishonim is a type of muhsakis, and a natural, right, the facts themselves tell me that you're one of the people who might own this, a derara de mamona. Then when there's a derara de mamona, by definition, derara de mamona means multiple people have derara de mamona. When the derara de mamona, when the facts themselves create a narrow set of candidates who might own this item, then all those candidates become muhsakim. That's how Tosfos in Bava Metzia understands the logic of derara de mamona. There are three ways that I could potentially become a muhsak. And then, taking that back to Bava Metzia, then the machlokas tanaim and the machlokas Rishonim on Bava Metzia Daf Kuf is how do we organize these factors? How many of these factors are true, and in what order do they come? So the Gemara is clear that according to the Chachamim, rule number one, that the best way to become muhsik is Tvisa Dahashta. In the absence of Tvisa Dahashta, Marakama works. Tosfos, both Bava Metzia and Bava Basra, understand that if you want a paskana like the Chachamim, then our Gemara is saying, that according to Chachamim, rule number three is Derara de Mamona. The absence of Tvisa Dahashta and Marakama, then Derara de Mamona makes you a muhsik. How about Sumchus? So Sumchus clearly thinks that Derara de Mamona is more important than Marakama. And as we saw, the Machlokas we shown him, does he think that Derara de Mamona is even more important than Tvisa Dahashta? That was the Machlokas. Tosfos quoted from Rabbi Shmuel, that the Gemara didn't say Ella, so that means according to even Sumchus agrees that Tvisa Dahashta is rule number one, just Derara de Mamona is rule number two, and other Rishonim disagree. But again, that whole conversation and the whole thrust of the sugya of Metzia is thinking about the different ways that someone becomes a muhsik, and you know which one takes precedence. One person is Marakama, but they both have Derara de Mamona. They both are Derara de Mamona, but one is Tvisa Dahashta. One guy is Tvisa Dahashta, the other one is Marakama. How do you stack which factor dominates? So that's a machlokas. I'm Tanam and a machlokas. How we show them. But all of that, again, The sukkah in Bava Metzia, and we saw it play out in Bava Basra, the way the Gemara handled the mission in Bava Metzia, that's a question of how do you become a mukzuk? What are the factors that might make you a mukzuk? And if there are different factors in play, which one takes precedence? How do you triage? What's the hierarchy? That's Bava Metzia Daf Kuf and Bava Basra Lamed Hei. The sukkah in Bava Kamim and Vav is a question of, given that you are a mukzuk, what does it do for you? Once you are the mukzuk, so then what? You have the right to demand, like Rav says, some raya, or like Shmuel, not just some raya, but a super raya. Ein alchom and acharov, you need a raya alimta. So that's the way the sugya is from 30,000 feet. Now that we've seen more, that's part of the way which these sugyas connect. And now we can also think, with that in mind, we can pick up where we left off before and think about, so what are the ways in which we deal with Safek Mamon? So he said, just from a practical standpoint, the outcome will either be Reuven gets it, or Shimon gets it, or they both get it, or neither one gets it. Okay. But why? So now that we understand something of the Muchsaka Sugya, so you understand, look, the way it's going to play out is going to be this. If there's a Raya Alimta, if there are two Eden, or if there's a Shtar, okay. Or as we saw above Basra Daf Hey, if there's a super, super strong Rov, a level 4 Rov, if there's some Raya Alimta or another, so that will decide who gets the money. It doesn't matter who's a Muchsak, if there are two Eden, the two Eden determine. If there's no Raya Alimta, so then the next step is let's see who the Muchsak is. Right? And as we saw, there are up to three different ways to become a Muchsak. We Paskin Bipashtas, like Tosas and most of the Rishonim, we pass like the Chachamim. If driver number one is Edim Shtar or some other Raya Alimta, driver number two is your Muchsak because of Tfisa Dashta, the simple sense of Muchsak. As we saw many times in different forms, sometimes we talk about Muchsak, sometimes we talk about Cheskas Mamon, it's all the same thing. Rule number three would be Cheskas Marakama. If there's no Tfisa Dahashta, that's Gemara and Bava Metzia Daf Kuf says, then the Marakama wins. Because we pass like Simchus. We pass, excuse me, against Simchus. We pass like the Chachamim against Simchus. Rule number four would be Yachloku based on Gerard de Mimona. Because again, that's what the Gemara of Bava Basra said. But oh, if there's Drar Mona, then we go Yachloku. If no Drar Mona, then there may be something else. And why? So again, if you accept Tosfos, it's because Drar Mona also makes you both Muchzakim. We don't hold like Sumchus. We hold that the Marakama is a better or stronger way to become Muchzak, but if there's no Tzizdash, there's no Marakama. So then, but there is a Drar Mona, so then both parties become Muchzakim based on Drar Mona. Therefore, if I'm Muchzak and you're Muchzak, it's sort of the equivalent. Remember, Tosas beginning of the sugya sent us back to above Mitzia Daf Beis, right? The Shnayim Ochs and Metalos. So Al Pi Pashtus, without getting into the full complexity of that sugya, the open sugya above Mitzia, Shnayim Ochs and Metalos, two guys holding on to Talos, and each one claims he picked. It has no simon. The sort of Talos that there is no Chiva Shava Saveda. So Kol Hakodem Zocher, you pick it up, you make a Kenyan, you call him an Efker, it's yours. Each one claims he got it first, and now they're both holding on to it. So the din is Yachloku. You have to swear. The court didn't yachloku. So again, without getting into the full complexity of the sugi there, I'll be pashtus as tosis, Rashbam and tosis both saying lavadal beis. They're both muvzakim. So they're both muvzakim. So of course, and then they're both muvzakim. So then they're both entitled to it, which practically means we split it. That's what's going on by Jardim Mona as well. By Shnayim Ochs and Metalos, they're both muvzakim based on Tfisa Dahashta. By Jardim Mona, that no one has Tfisa Dahashta, they're both muvzakim based on Jardim Mona, the fact pattern, not physical possession, not even known prior ownership, but the fact pattern in this case. The Dror Domo makes them both Muchsakim. Okay, but they're both Muchsakim. So then, unless either one can prove that he's entitled to the whole thing, each one gets half, because each one, Hamosim Echavero Varaya, will divide equally. So, number one is, the best way to resolve a Safek Mamon is you actually have a Raya Limta, Edim Shtar, etc. Or, number two is, Tvisa Dahashta, Muchsa Beit Tvisa Dahashta, will award it to whoever has a Tvisa Dahashta, or to both of them, if they're Shayim Ochs and Metalos. Rule number three is Marakama. So whoever was the last known owner, again, it could also be they're both, but let's say the last we knew they were Shutfim. Okay, so if they're both last known owners, again, well, we'll divide that way. Rule number four is Jarad Mona, always Yachloku by definition, based on Muchzakas of Jarad Mona. And then finally, we come to, and what happens when there's not only no raya alimta, so it is a suffik, but there also is no muhzakas. There's no tfisas a hashtag, there's no marakama, the dodra the mona, then what? So that brings us back to classical hahu arba. That brings us back to classical zeh mashal vosef, zeh mashal vosef. And in that, the Gemara had mentioned three possible rules, and then there's one more, which we have not really seen, but Laman HaShleimus, we should mention. The three possible rules the Gemara mentioned for muchzak lis suffik, in case you have a suffik, so it means no raya, and there's no muchzak, so we had mentioned three potential solutions. One is called Alam Gvar. Another one is Shuda Dedaini, and a third one was Yachloku. Now, Yachloku may or may not belong here, because as we saw, Tosis on the top of Laman Hayim and Al pointed out, if you look at the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Tzadi Dalet, which is the original source of Shuda and Yachloku, Rav and Shmuel, the Shnei Shtaros case, so the Gemara had a suffik, when Tosis tries to figure out which way should we paskin, the Gemara had a suffik. Why is Rav saying that in the case of Shnei Shtaros you say Yachloku? Is it a way of dealing with suffik? That's one of the Gemara's approaches. Shmuel and Rav both agree that this case it's a suffik who owns it. Shmuel and Rav both agree. One approach to the Gemara, Shmuel and Rav both agree that whoever got the shtar first is really the owner. We're just not sure factually who got it first. And Rav and Shmuel are disputing. If you don't know, so which is the better solution? Rav says chaluka adifa, and Shmuel says no, shuda adifa. Rav says, you know, cut your losses, hedge your bets, give half to each one. So for sure, the right guy's gaining something. On the other hand, the wrong guy also gains them. The right guy is definitely not gaining everything. And Shmuel says, no, better would be make a call. And again, Machlokas, Rashbam and Tosas, does that mean make an educated guess or just make a call? Just make some call. But there's at least a 50-50 chance, and maybe more than a 50-50 chance, according to Rashbam, that the right guy is gaining everything. The Imamish nailed it. Again, there's a possibility that you totally blew it and the wrong guy is gaining everything. But on the other hand, maybe the right guy is gaining everything. That's one version of the Gemara Ksubis, that Rav and Shmuel are disputing what's the best way to deal with a muchzikless suffik. And the other version of the Gemara is, no. Rav doesn't think that case is a suffik. The other version of the Gemara is that Rav isn't making a general fundamental statement about suffik. He's saying something specific about shtar. That Rav thinks that in that particular case, there is no suffik. But based on Hilchos Shtaros, that's the other version of the Gemara, Rav holds that if two guys are holding a shtar that have the same date, then maybe bivadai, they're both equally entitled. And that had related back to one of the larger sugyas that came up, incidentally, very, very important sugya, of, maybe we'll talk some more tomorrow, of Eide Mesira Karasei and Eide Chasima Karasei. But that was a question of understanding how does Kinyan Shtar work. So if Rav holds Eide Chasima Karasei, then that case isn't really a suffix. It's Yachloku B'Toras Vada, which again, that's irrelevant to our conversation. Okay. Either way, so it's Tosis Mesupik. It's not 100% clear what the Maskan of the Sugi is. Either way, we pass like Shmuel. So practically speaking, the rule for us would be Shuda. Now, and we maybe tomorrow we can also get some more. We can get involved in the details of some of the detailed conversation about what Shuda is and how Shuda works. But the Gemara had said in Bava Basra, the Shuda is rule number 5, because if there's no raya and there's also no muchzakas, all three factors driving muchzakas are gone. No tisashta, no markam, no dar demona. Then the Gemara presents the way most Rishonim understand the Gemara is the best thing to do when there's no raya and no muchzak is shuda d'dayni. According to Shmuel, we pass like Shmuel, shuda d'dayni. Narvas, Rav Nachman said, kol dal gvar, because he says shuda d'dayni is lovely. But it's a way of cultivating shalom, at least a cold peace rather than a hot war, in a way that kol dal gvar will not. So when there's nothing to go on, ideally you want someone to Beis Din should make a call, and we pass on like Shmuel. The call that Beis Din should make is should award it to someone. Don't split it. But Rav Nachman says we're only going to do that when it's leka lameka malad demilsa. There's no raya, there's no muhsuk, and we don't anticipate any rayas coming up. We think the case is closed. We think that the discovery process, anyhow, is, we haven't made a psak yet, but we think that that we don't anticipate any more evidence showing up. Leka lameka malad demilsa. So then Beis Din is going to make a call. The Rimagash indicates that Beis Din can make a call because it's a true suffix. It's something you can really paskin on. And the most Rishonim understand that in that case, Beis Din can make a call because we're not worried about looking foolish. So we would rather make a call. That's better for Shalom. And we're not worried about looking foolish. If it's Ikkel and Ikkel and Demilsa, if there's a real chance that more evidence will show up, Rimagash says more evidence... It's not even a suffix. It's just you're waiting for information to come in. It's not a settled suffix. Most Rishonim understand it's chuchavit lula. Practically speaking, how do we make a call, get in front of the issue, and then 2 days later we look absurd because more evidence came up? So when lekel make it, so that's already rule number six. Now, rule number one is raya limta. Rule number two is muchzuk tisdasha. Rule number three is marakama. Rule number four is jardin mona. Rule number five halacha lemaisa is. This is all halacha maisa, right? We don't pass like simchus. We don't pass like rav. Rule number five is shuda de daini. Rule number six, when not only there's no raya and there's no muchzak, there's also it's not even lekel lemekim with the milsa. There may be evidence on the way, so then we have no choice but to say kol dam gvar. We can talk tomorrow more about the details we showed in debate about debating. That we showed fight over how to fight. Well, what does kol dam gvar mean? And then finally, leman hashleimus is also rule number seven. Right, that was six rules. Right? That was the rule number seven, which I will just add leman hashleimus, didn't really come up here, but it does come above metzia. Sometimes no one gets it. So far, these six rules are all either result in one party getting it or both parties sharing it. There's also possibly number seven, which the Rimagash does stick in here when he summarizes the sugya. Sometimes no one gets it. When is that? That when there's no Ryan, there's no muchzak, but unlike kol da'al and gvar, it's not nowhere, but it's in the hands of a third party. If someone is a shomer, and that really takes us back to the opening of the sugya, where once Beis Din has it, they don't give it up. Once Beis Din has it, then they shouldn't. If they should have let the kol da'al gvar just be open and let things develop. But once Beis Din took it into escrow, they can't release it. Why? So that's based on the third paragraph of Bavmitzia, that in general, let's say if there was a shomer, if one of you asked me to watch $100 for you, the other one asked me to watch $200 for you, now I don't remember who's who. So what do I do with that third $100? So the din is, I cannot release it to anyone. Why? Because the muchzak doesn't have it, but it's not called dam gvar because I'm not the muchzak, but I am a shomer. So I have an achrayus, I have a responsibility to guard it on behalf of whoever the owner is. If I don't know who the owner is, then I can't release it at all. So that's option number seven, is the heimunachat shavel yo. If we don't know whose it is, and it's in the hands of a shomer, a third party who doesn't claim to be the owner, but is a shomer, whether it's Beis Din, who inappropriately took it as when it should have been called Dal Gvar, or Stam, it started, Biyad HaShomer. So then we say, yeimunachat shavel yo, yeheimunach, it stays in escrow, and that's the... Practically speaking, the fourth option, no one gets it. And in terms of our hierarchy, that's a seventh driver of Yehemunach. But that's these sugyas in a nutshell. Blineder, tomorrow we can talk more about the rich details of Shuda Dedaini and Kol Da'al Gvar, so on and so forth. I hope this was productive.
Yeah.